praise. Father, all glorious, o'er all victorious, come and reign over us, Ancient of Days. Come, thou incarnate Word, gird on thy mighty sword, our prayer. Come and thy people bless, and give thy word success, and let thy righteousness on us descend. Come, Holy Comforter, thy sacred witness bear in this glad hour.
The congregation is invited to stand. We follow the order of service, Divine Service 1, on page 151, also printed in the bulletin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake he forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity.
And I have trusted in the Lord without wavering.
Prove me, O Lord, and try me.
Test my heart and my mind.
For your steadfast love is before my eyes.
And I walk in your faithfulness.
I do not sit with men of falsehood.
Nor do I consort with hypocrites.
I hate the assembly of evildoers.
And I will not sit with the wicked.
I wash my hands in innocence.
And go around your altar, O Lord,
proclaiming thanksgiving aloud,
and telling all your wondrous deeds.
O Lord, I love the habitation of your house,
and the place where your glory dwells.
Do not sweep my soul away with sinners,
nor my life with bloodthirsty men,
in whose hands are evil devices,
and whose right hands are full of bribes.
But as for me, I shall walk in my integrity.
Redeem me and be gracious to me.
My foot stands on level ground.
In the great assembly, I will bless the Lord.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Also with you.
Let us pray.
Almighty God, your Son willingly endured the agony and shame of the cross for our redemption. Grant us the courage to take our cross daily and follow him wherever he leads. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The Old Testament reading is from Jeremiah chapter 15, starting at verse 15. O Lord, you know me, remember me, and visit me, and take vengeance for me on my persecutors. In your forbearance, take me not away. Know that for your sake I bear reproach. Your words were found, and I ate them. Your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord, God of hosts.
I did not sit in the company of revelers, nor did I rejoice. I sat alone because your hand was upon me, for you had filled me with indignation. Why is my pain unceasing, my wound incurable, refusing to be healed? Will you be to me like a deceitful brook, like waters that fail? Therefore, thus says the Lord, if you return, I will restore you, and you shall stand before me. If you utter what is precious and not what is worthless, you shall be as my mouth. They shall turn to you, but you shall not turn to them. I will make you to this people a fortified wall of bronze. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail over you. For I am with you to save you and deliver you, declares the Lord. I will deliver you out of the hand of the wicked and redeem you from the grasp of the ruthless. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading is from Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse 9. Just a comment, I'll also say this in, I'll make mention of this in the sermon. From now on in Romans, as I mentioned in the sermon last week, when I preached on Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, starting from verse 3, chapter 12, all the way to into chapter 15, all of this teaching in Romans then, Paul writes the people in Rome, the Christians in Rome, how to live as a Christian, what that looks like in different parts of their lives. So these later readings of Romans are advice for our sanctified lives in Christ. Paul wrote, "Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all." Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand and sing the Alleluia.
Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia, Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 16th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. Truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We confess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. It's printed in the back of the hymnal.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Teach you how to
The sermon this morning reflects mostly on Romans 12, verses 19, 20, and 21, but we will see a very close parallel or teaching, a foundation of what Jesus teaches in our gospel reading. To start, and there's a link and a thought connecting all these things together, in Psalm 26, verse 3, which was our psalm. That verse says, "For your steadfast love is before my eyes, and I walk in your faithfulness. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen." Just a bit of a review from last week's sermon. Last week, we looked at verses 1 and 2 of Romans 12. And one of the things that we noted there, there's a, Paul said that as we have the Holy Spirit, we should discern what is the will of God. And we should walk in that. And there's a few other things he said in those verses that we thought about last week. But then I noted last week from then on, chapter 12, verse 3 of Romans, all the way to chapter 15, verse 23, is all about the Christian life. So he gives so much teaching about justification and also such some about sanctification in the first part of Romans. And then is, therefore, this is how we are as Christians. How do we live our life of sanctification? And it's very clear, we are daughters and sons of God by His grace, by His grace. And we don't earn or we don't decide to be Christians. He calls us, He makes us His children. It's a free gift. So once we're in God, and once we have the Holy Spirit living in us, then how do we live? Now all these verses from today's reading from Romans and other verses too, we could look at very specifically, but I decided to for us to look at verses 19, 20, and 21. They're a little subset there in the reading from Romans 12. And also there's some foundational thought in connection to what Jesus taught in Matthew. It's very clear when Paul teaches Christians, us, that we are to love our enemy, that an enemy or that there's evil is not a pretend thing. It's not fake. There's really evil in this world. And there is really injustices. And there is really unrighteousness. There's really lies and so forth. And those will be punished. God is righteous. But the question is, for we Christians, who is going to punish and how? Because our sinful human nature and those who aren't Christians will say, aha, I will punish you and this is how I'm going to punish you now, like this. And I'm going to get back at you like this. And I'm going to do this. And then see what you have to say. And we're tempted to think like that. Paul says in verse 19, never avenge yourselves. And that's a key point for us to think about. Never avenge yourselves. So never take it upon yourself to get back at a wrong that has been done against you. Well, what this does not mean is that evildoers, murderers, or thieves, or dangerous situations, you can't defend yourself or you shouldn't defend somebody else. No. We are supposed to protect our neighbor. We are supposed to protect our family and so forth. That is fine. Also, we know that evil is punished in various governments at various times, sometimes punished well, sometimes not punished so well. We know. But God's intention is for governments to have the sword, to punish and curb evil. That is not what Paul is talking about right here in verse 19. He says, never avenge yourselves. Leave it to the wrath of God. And that's a temptation that often comes to us. The government won't get them. I'm going to get them. That person's just getting away with murder. I'm going to do this. Take it into your own hands. Paul says in verse 20, to the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Don't get back with evil and vengeance. Quote, unquote, get back with good. It's easy or easier if our neighbor's pretty nice to help out our neighbor. It's harder if our neighbor is nasty to still love our neighbor. That's harder. But that is the Christian teaching and calling. And in fact, he's quoting an Old Testament passage here from Proverbs, and I have it written there in the notes. This is Proverbs chapter 25, verses 21 and 22. If your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat, and if he is thirsty, give him water to drink, for you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you. That's what the Proverbs says. Paul doesn't put that here. And the Lord will reward you. God is looking for his people, his sons and daughters, to be like him, to have mercy on the wicked and unjust. God is looking for his sons and daughters to not think that they are God, so I'm going to take vengeance in the way I want to do it and how I want to do it, but let God be God and let him take vengeance. And it may be through legal means, and it may be through, God can do a lot of different things, but don't take a vengeance for yourselves. As I was thinking about this, he says in verse 21, I got thinking about we're following in the footsteps of Jesus, right? We're following in the footsteps of Jesus. What did Jesus do? He did this. Do not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. What did Jesus do when he was nailed on the cross? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. This is the Savior that we have. This is who we are called to follow. And that is not the way of sinful human nature. It is not the way the world often thinks, that you actually forgive, that you actually take care of, that you actually bless or help those who are persecuting you, especially in the faith, but in other things too. But when we see what Jesus has done for the whole world, for us, while we were still sinners, he died for us. While we were still full of everything that we have done, he died for us and called us to be his. And so, as I have done for you, you also do for one another. In the gospel reading from Matthew chapter 26, Jesus said in verse 24, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. The cross, and maybe a lot of you, we know this and think about it occasionally, but it's good for us to remember. The cross was not a beautiful ornament or necklace or something like that at Jesus' time. The cross was a hangman's noose The cross was, in our parlance, the gas chamber. The cross was the place where the criminal dies. And so when Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me, that is something that's astounding. It's like, what do you mean, cross? That's where the murderers go. That's what the Romans do to the unlucky Jews and others. What do you mean, cross? But that's what he said. And so it's at that time, it would seem to be a mystery to them, because, of course, they hadn't seen Jesus die on a cross yet for them. So what do you mean, Jesus? Take up my cross and follow you. Well, take up your cross. We die to ourselves. Paul talks about this much. And it's just going back to what we have said. God, you are in charge, and I'm following you. I'm not going to put my thoughts above your thoughts. Whatever you give me in this life, I walk along that way following Jesus. He has died for me, and what have you for me to do? For my friends, for my enemies. When Jesus came to earth, he was a merciful Savior. He was long-suffering. Think about it. He's a baby or just a little bit of a toddler, and King Herod wants to kill him. For what? Think of it. He's rejected by the very scholars and theologians that should have recognized him as being their Savior. But when they rejected him, and when they mocked him, and when they called him Satan, he did not just strike them with lightning, done. He could have. But his first coming is one of mercy and grace, one on which he would say in the cross, Father, forgive them. That's how he calls us to be, full of his grace and his mercy. He will come as a judge. All things will be punished if they have not been forgiven. And that is part of our witness and our testimony. Repent now. Believe now while you have his mercy. Because as he comes later, it will not be with mercy, it will be with justice. Because the justice and punishment is coming. But for now, there is a time to repent and believe. And Jesus calls us to bear his cross so that maybe some who hate him or hate us or whatever, enemies, might see somehow in us God's mercy, God's long-suffering, God's grace. Or at least see that we're not trying to be vengeful. We're not trying to get back. Finally, this verse from Psalm 26, verse 3. The psalmist said, for your steadfast love is before my eyes. Our continued focus in this life is Christ, his cross, how he calls me to follow him, his righteousness for me. It's constantly before our eyes. And this guides us. His steadfast love for us guides us into steadfast love for others. As he has loved us, we pray, help me to love others. The second part of that verse 3 says, and I walk in your faithfulness. Not, and I walk in my faithfulness, and I walk in my power. Not that. I walk in your faithfulness. We're called to bear our cross, to not take vengeance for ourselves, to live and help even our enemies. And we don't always walk like that. But we walk in God's faithfulness. We walk, I was thinking about it, we walk, if we walk just the way we want to walk, we're going to be walking in muck and mud and never on anything certain or sure. But as we follow in Christ and follow his footsteps, we walk following him, and he is certain. His way is certain. So even if I slip, even if I fall down, even if I say a mean word or just maybe a mean thought, and we know it was there, we could repent and say, but my salvation is not on this. It is on Christ, his faithfulness. Lord, help me also, forgive me, and help me be faithful again. The certainty is what he is for us. But we take up our cross and walk, loving our enemies. And yet when we fall, he's there. He helps us. He takes us again. We follow him. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks that you sent your Son who showed your grace and favor to the whole world by dying for all people, though all people don't believe. We ask you to continue to strengthen our own faith in Christ and strengthen many others in Christ or come to faith. And also then, Heavenly Father, strengthen our love, both for friend and foe, and help us to follow Christ and in his way. All these things, Heavenly Father, we bring to you in the holy name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The congregation is invited to stand and we sing the offertory printed in the bulletin.
What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call on the name of the Lord. I will take the cup of salvation and will call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord and now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem.
We pray the prayer of Zion Lutheran Church printed in the bulletin. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For trust in the fatherly care of our avenging God, that we would not seek our own vengeance, but rather bless those who curse us. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the church of God and all who proclaim the word of God, that we may forsake the revelers who despise God's word and always hear what is precious, the gospel of Jesus Christ, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Christian neighbors in our community and each home, that as the beloved of God, we may be unashamed to serve each other in genuine love, truthful speech, and constant patience, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our nation, its leaders, and those who serve for the good of our people and for the protection, for the families who have lost loved ones in their military service, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For peace in our time and the peace that God alone can give, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For favorable weather, safety, success, and good travels in all our vocations and activities, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Margaret, Charlotte, Burnett, Bill, Gary, Bryston, James, Joe, Kim, Andrew, Mary Ellen, Mary, Sue, and Steve, Brandon, Maverick, Heather, Gary, Mark, Helen, Michael, Ray, Carl, Denny, Carlos, Phyllis, and Pastor Scott, and all in need of healing and restoration, that they may bear the crosses and endure to see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
for repentance and faith as we approach the Lord's table, that we may not think more highly of ourselves than is right, but that we would set our hearts and minds in the things of God. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those persecuted for the name of Christ, that in communion with all the saints we may bear our crosses faithfully, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. All these things, and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again, and now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, body and his blood on the cross.
Amen.
We pray our Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Blood and righteousness. No man peace in every high and a stormy gale.
Forgive us certain joys.
with your help, O Lord, our struggles we win. With voices united, our praises we offer, and gladly our songs of thanksgiving we raise. With you, Lord, beside us, your strong arm will guide us. To you, our great Redeemer, forever be praise. Thank the Lord and sing his praise. Tell everyone what he has done. Let all who seek the Lord rejoice and proudly bear his name. He recalls his promises and leads his people forth in joy. With shouts of thanksgiving, alleluia, alleluia.
Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come and the holy supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.